Today we want to think for a few moments about it all begins with God. And the late Joe Paterno often shared, you can't take the journey if you don't know where you are going. And so today we're going to take a journey with Nicodemus, and we're going to learn anew with him how to begin that journey with God and for God. But I want you to take your Bibles, if you brought them with you this morning, I want you quickly to turn to Genesis 1:1, first book of the Bible, first chapter. Just earmark that when I come to that point later. But as we open our lesson today from John's Gospel, into this mystical and balmy night air comes Nicodemus seeking an audience with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here we see, church, that our Lord does not isolate himself from those seeking answers to the fundamental issues of life and faith that people are asking in the year 2019 as well. And what takes place this morning, church, is one of those most dramatic and disturbing and defining conversations between Jesus and another human being. And I'm glad it's part of the infallible Word of God. It provides timeless insights into our search for God, but most importantly, God's search for us. So onto the stage this morning steps the Reverend Dr. Nicodemus, B.A., M.A., Master Divinity, Ph.D. He is a member of the Sanhedrin, that council of 70 men who govern the religious life of the nation of Israel. He is well respected by all. He is the original insider. This is the man who taught others. Others did not teach Nicodemus. People sought him out. He rarely sought others out. And so Nicodemus, from what we would call all of the outward appearances this morning, seems to have all the appropriate credentials. However, you know, the Bible makes it very clear from the Old Testament on that God is not impressed with outward appearances. Many times they can be a smokescreen. And that is why this lesson has always been so threatening to me, to someone who has been part of the religious establishment all of my life, and as a pastor for over 40 years. And that is why this morning, church, we must approach this lesson with a very humble spirit, to be born again, to be born from above, never meant to make one spiritually smug or superior. It's more than a shingle or a diploma that we hang on the office door, so to speak. Nicodemus is a man who is quite educated. He's powerful. He's wealthy. He enjoys great privilege, as we would say today. But however, despite all of these outward trappings, so to speak, there is something very profound that is stirring inside of his soul and spirit this morning in our lesson. And know, like Nicodemus, you and I can know many of the great hymns of the faith, immortal, invisible, God only wise. We can know John 3:16, you know, Philippians 4:13. But sometimes there can be something disconnected in our spiritual life as well. Sometimes when we work for the church, we know the heart can become cold and we become self-satisfied at times. And so, as we learn from our lesson today, we always need the power in presence of the Holy Spirit, as Nicodemus is going to learn. Our education, our church traditions can only take us so far, church. John Wesley, our great mentor in ministry, said, take human reason as far as it can take you. Then you always move on to the greater path of faith and hope and love. And shortly after I retired for the first time and before I came to Ono for that short time, my wife and I began to hike many hiking trails in our area. And one of our favorites was the Kernsville Dam area near Hamburg, you know, on the backside of a Cracker Barrel and Cabela's up there. And the famous Appalachian Trail runs nearby, as it does in Pine Grove and other places in this area. And so one day I asked one of the trail guides, where does the Appalachian Trail connect to this trail that we were walking? And the trail guide gave us the directions. You see, church, if you don't know where the trail starts, you can't hike it, you can't take the journey. And the Christian faith, it all begins with God. In a sense, that is exactly the insight that Jesus gives to Nicodemus in this profound lesson for this morning. If you want to build a life with God, it must begin with God. And for the Christian, that journey starts with Jesus Christ. This is the truth that leads to that joyful, abundant life, that beautiful stained glass window there, as Jesus, as the good shepherd, points to us in John 10:10. I came that you may have life, and life live in my joy, my abundance. You see, the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets, they always pointed to it. But somewhere along the line, nation of Israel, human beings, we began to take the wrong trail. We began to make our own trail at times, using the law and the prophets when we wanted to. But you look at the nation of Israel, they always found themselves searching. We forget that the Christian faith is primarily a relationship. It's not a religion. In the Old Testament, how many times did God remind the Israelites, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt into the promised land? The psalmist testifies to that time and time again. And sometimes, church, the very thing that we thought would connect us to God or would enhance communication, in a sense, begins to disconnect us. You see, if you remember nothing else from the sermon, information does not always bring about transformation. There must be something deeper and greater than that. In the past 15 years, all of us would agree that we have created these great systems of communication that we use even here in the church house this morning. But studies have actually revealed to us that all of this technology that we have is actually beginning to disconnect us from one another. Nation from nation. We can talk to people in Canada, but we don't know how to have a human conversation with a neighbor next door. Theresa May, before she went out being the Prime Minister of Great Britain, she developed a new cabinet position called the Minister of Loneliness. And so much of the knowledge that we have today, church, is depersonalizing. And so loneliness, isolation, as we see from these mass shootings, we have these people who are isolated from each other in our world today. And so the very thing that we thought was created to enhance our communication actually begins to build in these detours. And the same thing, church, can happen in our spiritual lives as well. With all of these technological advances of the past years, we as a people, you know, we have all these devices to save time, and we're more frazzled and exhausted than ever before. Everything is 24/7 today. St. Augustine was right 1,700 years ago when he said, our hearts are restless till they find their rest, their purpose, their energy, their strength in thee. As a pastor, in my conversations with people who are outside the church walls, so to speak, they often share with me, Pastor, that they were turned off by the phrase born again and those who claim to be born again, because those people were often guilty of false advertising. There was this disconnect in their lives, and they could see it. President Abraham Lincoln, who was probably the greatest who ever sat in the White House, once said, you know, the Christ that people find in sacred scripture and the Christ they find in everyday life with people just aren't the same thing. So let me say from the very beginning this morning, from the get-go, that the phrase born again is quite biblical. It is the right trail to travel. Well, we're not saved by a slogan, but by the Savior who spoke these words into their very existence this morning. The moment the church thinks it has a formula for God, God just comes and explodes any formula that we have for spiritual reality. There's always a little small book that's found in most church libraries written by J.P. Phillips called Your God is Too Small. You see, John's gospel makes it very clear from the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. I'm always thankful that God didn't send a committee. Amen to that, you know. Oh. Let me share with you an example. I don't know if I ever shared it with you in my 8 months I was with you, but there was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Stuart Berger who was a popular columnist for the New York Post newspaper. And his columns dealt with what we would call diet and health-related issues, a great concern for many people today. And pardon the pun, but he had a very wide readership, a large following. And he wrote these marvelous columns on how to live longer and better through diet and exercise. And he wrote several books, one that greatly got my attention called Forever Young, 20 years younger in 20 weeks. At my age, you know, that's a good thing to look forward to. Amen. Well, when Mr. Stuart Berger died, His readers were shocked to find out that he died at the age of 40 and he weighed 365 pounds. It seems today, church, that you can be an expert, you can be a consultant, you can know something without really knowing your subject at all. And one of the questions that we must always keep before us in the church house, do we just know about God or do we know God? Jesus gave us that great invitation that we can share our Father. You see, we cannot originate this knowledge. It must come from something that is deeper and greater than ourselves. And Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus this morning that to enter into this realm called the kingdom of God, we must always think and see and act in a way that's different from the world and culture in which we find ourselves living in. Jesus was opening up this whole new trail for Nicodemus to walk in. And I can understand Nicodemus was a little resistant at first. We don't like change. The only people who like change are wet babies. Amen? You know, I understand that. And Dr. William Barclay, the great biblical scholar, said, you know, there are two very important days in a person's life. That first day, of course, is the day that we are born, that we enter into the world. But there's always a more important day, and that's the day that we discovered why we were born. You see, science and biology and technology, they can help us with that first question. But the second one, we know that we must always go deeper, that there's a height, there's a depth, there's a width to it that we try to avoid. Sometimes we try to push it off to another day. And so I believe Nicodemus, being this educated man, church, he's looking for maybe a debate, an exchange of philosophical ideas, but nothing as radical that Jesus is talking about. When I was with you, I always told you that Jesus was the greatest radical that the world has ever known. And I don't know about you, but it's tough to take a new trail when you think you're on the right trail to begin with. It's like the husband driving in the car. Well, I think it's the next turn, you know. And we never get to that destination that we want to get to. And in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 this morning, we just see that flesh and spirit are doing battle, church. Every trail that Nicodemus has learned is being rerouted. It's like, you know, that Samantha we have in the car. Recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. And you can feel the conflict in our story this morning. And that is why the story has been so enduring and so edifying to us 2,000 years later. One of the reasons that the Bible is such a great book, of course, we know it's the infallible Word of God. It's different from the Quran and other religious literatures because there's the power of story in it. And we see in Nicodemus and countless other people from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down to the pages of Scripture, we see at times where flesh and spirit, human passion do battle. And they make these stories come alive the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, in all fairness to Nicodemus, we know something about Nicodemus in verse 2 is that begins to stir his spirit. He knows that he has this want and desire to move beyond the trail that he's currently traveling. And he realizes his need of a deeper and an inward spiritual transformation this morning. Now, with Nicodemus being such a great student of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and all the law and the prophets, I find it extremely difficult that Nicodemus did not know exactly what Jesus was teaching. You can look at verse 10. Jesus declares, you are Israel's teacher, and you don't know these things? And Nicodemus must have felt like all the wheels, everything he had were just coming apart, coming off of that moment. And I think these words that Jesus shared began to reverberate in Nicodemus' life and spirit from chapter 3 to chapter 19, where we know he's one who helps to take the body of Jesus down from the cross. I think they begin to reverberate in his spirit. They cause deep reflection for a long time. Everything that Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was found in the Old Testament from, we would say, cover to cover. It was really scroll to scroll. But I always remember Mark Twain, that great American one, said, you know, it's not what I don't know about the Bible that troubles me. It's what I do know. Amen to that one. And then there was W.C. Fields. You gotta love him. Just like us. Always looking for the loopholes. In the old King James Version, three times Jesus says, truly, 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 I say unto you. And what Jesus is trying to communicate to Nicodemus and to us, what I'm saying this morning is extremely important. Don't dismiss it. There are no loopholes this morning. Many of us here, I'm sure, have been raised in the church house all of our life, haven't we? You know, I was brought in as a youngster. I didn't have any say in that. You know that? My mother didn't ask me if I wanted to go to church. Was your mother just like that as well? Say amen. Amen. If I said Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 this morning, let's see if you remember it. Trust in the Lord with all of your... Lean not on your own in all your ways, and he will direct. Notice the word path, way. Lean not on our own understanding. In other words, it always begins with God. Psalm 119, verse 105, Sandy Patty made this a great song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice the word feet, path, traveling once again. In your church library, there's a little plaque, Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. How could Nicodemus been so shallow to have missed this truth? Let me tell you how I did it. I can painfully remember a time back in my early days when I went through a painful part of my ministry that I was simply called, in the words of the church house, the dark night of the soul. I actually, my church was at a time when I was climbing the ladder of success and was climbing it quite well. I already had books published. I had sermons published, was writing Sunday school lessons. People had me pegged for certain positions. But in the midst of that church and all that churchianity, I began to miss the soft sandaled feet of Jesus. I was in the Word, but sometimes, church, we have to allow the one who is the author of the Word reveal himself to us. And sometimes we find ourselves on the wrong trail. And it's tough to admit when you think you are right to admit that you're on the wrong trail, church. Well, I didn't want to wind up like Mr. Berger. And so sometimes, church, when we go to the darkness, we have to pay attention. And we have to learn and listen to what the darkness is trying to teach us. And Dr. Charles Stanley reminded me, and these are his words, the dark moments of our lives will last only so long as it is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in our lives. And so I took some time off. I became very depressed. And I can remember one night it got so intense when I was on my knees before God. And as though I said in my spirit, God, you don't expect me to start over again. I've already been to seminary. I've already graduated with honors. I'm already a senior pastor. I'm already serving a large church, and my other colleagues are in smaller churches. As though God said, it's either my way or the highway. You know, we love to sing those songs here in the church house. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. Until we come to a moment when God's way is not the way that we're traveling. And that is exactly what happened to Nicodemus' church. To challenge him to the very core of his existence. That he must start over again. All of this education, all of this tradition was not enough of itself. So during that time, I did some reading from the pen of a very respected spiritual writer by the name of Henri Nouwen. And he tells of a time in which he went through his own darkness. He was teaching at Harvard University. He was considered the spiritual guru of many in America. And he went through this time of darkness. And so he went to visit the late Mother Teresa. And he asked Mother Teresa, how in the midst of working in all the darkness and despair of the streets of Calcutta, ministering to homeless men, women, and children, to the dying there, how do you keep connected to Jesus? How? And Mother Teresa said to Andre with profound simplicity, Andre, you must spend at least 1 hour a day with Jesus. And she was absolutely right, church. That there are times that everything must flow like a river, flow from this deeper reservoir. It must flow from a deeper place that we are connected to Him. That it must flow out of a life that is connected and devoted solely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That part of the job as a pastor is to get people to come face to face with Jesus Christ. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I want to tell you this, church, as I stand before you today, that I never regret it. Starting over again. No longer capitulating to culture and to what churches and denominations wanted, but being anchored to the truth of God and His way and His life and His truth. But there is good news in this lesson for us this morning. And so I wanted to find just the right illustration to bring it home to you this morning. Now, you know, I married my dear wife Mary. She was a Presbyterian, you know. And we were Methodists, remember? And you guys were E, and we weren't allowed to go to movies. We weren't allowed to play cards. Remember all that stuff? Well, Presbyterians, they could do anything, you know. So I'm glad I married Mary, you know. So they could do everything. So, you know, so my wife had me to go to movies, you know. And we went with our children, and we went to see this one film. Now, it's an old film, so I'm 60s. How old am I, dear? Oh, close enough. All right. Okay, we went to see this movie called City Slickers. Do any of you ever remember that stupid movie, City Slickers? Okay, there's a couple of you. All right, praise God. All right, well, it stars Billy Crystal. I think you can get it on Netflix. At least that's what my children tell me. Okay. And starring Billy Crystal, Jack Palance. And it shares the story of these three New York City businessmen who try to unwind from the hectic pace of urban life. And so they take this two-week trip to the Wild West. This is even PG, so you could watch this one. Even EUBs can watch this one, okay? So we soon discover that in this movie, all three of these characters are experiencing what we would call today a midlife crisis. They are searching for the secret of life. Well, on the journey, they meet this rough, plain-speaking cowboy by the name of Curly, played by Jack Palance. And finally, one day, Curly just shouts out at Mitch, who's played by Billy Crystal, "You city folks just don't get it." And he says to him, "Do you know the secret?" And then he holds up gratefully his index finger. And he said, "You need to know one thing. Just one thing," he says. "Stick to that. Everything will be right." And so I went through that time of darkness in my life, that time of despair. I often found myself in the book of the Bible known as the Psalms. And I'm thankful for David's honesty of the times which he and others went through these times of darkness and despair. Those who have traveled this trail before us, giving us insight, church. And so one afternoon, I came to Psalm 27, verse 4. You can look it up when you get home. This is how it begins. "One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that will gaze upon his beauty and in his house. This might be a United Methodist Church, but always remember, this is God's house. And so today we've talked a great deal about path and about trail, about destination, about way, about divine destination. If Pastor Rob comes back in about 2 weeks and he says to you, "What did Pastor Eric teach you?" I want you to say 5 words. You can do that, can't you? Say amen. Amen. Are you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
It all begins with God. You see, Jesus confirms this truth to us in Matthew 6 and 33. "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, one of the great things about the Christian faith is God invites us to participate in his kingdom work. But we must never forget, it's his kingdom. Jesus invites us to share his rule. But don't forget, it's his kingdom and his rules. So I want to ask you this morning, do you need to be born again? Do you need to be born from above? And according to Jesus, to Nicodemus, and countless others down to the card of history in this old retired pastor this morning, we do. Because there are times when you and I need to be reminded that it must flow out of this devotion. This is why I want you quickly to turn to Genesis 1 and 1. The Christian faith isn't rocket science, church. The very first words that open this great 66 books, it says, "In the beginning, God created." So when I go to search for words about human marriage, about immigration, or any issue that comes before me in a spiritual manner, it all begins with God. And the good news for all of us gathered here this morning, the good news that eventually came to Nicodemus as he helped to take the body of Jesus down from the cross, and church tradition says he became a sold-out, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And for people like you and me, is that you can begin to walk that trail today. It all begins with God. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, at sometimes it just simply frightens me. It disturbs me that I might know about many things, but not really knowing you as my Heavenly Father, as that great and mighty fortress, Father. So, Spirit of the living God, indeed, fall fresh and new upon us as we gather as your people this morning here at Ono United Methodist Church. Teach every one of us anew in whatever way that needs to be accomplished, to take place this day, to follow that path, that trail that you have opened to us in Christ Jesus, to discover him as our good shepherd, and to come to know that abundant, joyful life that only he can bring. And I pray all this morning in the strong and matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
All begins with God. Amen. Hymn number 10. We'll close with hymn number 10. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth verses.